Please be seated. Take your Bibles, please, and turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we are in verses 12 through 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And what we're going to do is just go through these passages. He has a single idea in this section that we've chosen for our study together, as we're working through the larger topic of whenever the church comes together, we ought to observe the masculine-feminine distinctions. We ought to respect the brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. We ought not to allow heretics in our midst. This is the context that we've been going through. And then last hour, what we saw is that by the power of the Spirit, we seek to do everlasting benefit to other people. That was last week's topic. This week, he's going to specify that you individually, you specifically, are a part of the body of Christ. And that when you look at these differing abilities, differing results, differing spiritual things and differing categories, these divisions, they're different. They're all very different. And then there's you. You're different. You know, you are really different. Sarah tells me, you don't think like other people. Well, neither do you. You know, we're weird. We're different, all of us. You have to be weird. You have to be different. You believed in Jesus. Go figure. Rather than trying to work your way to heaven, you accepted the free gift of everlasting life. Christ found you, a sinner, lost, without hope, without a future. And you cried out to him, save me. And he saved you. He said, great, you're mine for all eternity. I've got you. Your everlasting life. You're stuck with me. You can't get rid of me no matter what you do. And I'm stuck with you. Everlasting life. That's how important you are to God. He's actively, the Father, actively seeking people just like you to worship him out of their spirit. And according to the life that they have followed to bring them to Jesus. Now in verses 12 through 13, all believers are part of one body. Verse 12, for just as the body is one and is having many members, now all the members of the body, of this one body being many, is one body. Thus also the Messiah. So he says, you know, this is the body of Christ, which he'd been arguing that we need to make sure that we're observing communion in a manner worthy of the body of Christ. He's talking about the church in context there. And now he's going to teach us that there's a single body of the Messiah, but it's made up of a whole bunch of different parts. For also by one Spirit we were baptized, all baptized, into one body. This is really a fun passage. You have the Father, you have the Son, we've had the Messiah already in verse 12, and here the Spirit in verse 13, and we'll come to the Father later in this passage. It's a great passage on the Trinity. But here he says, we were baptized into one body. All right, to be baptized here is not talking about water. Baptized in the New Testament means identified, to identify with, okay? That's what baptized means. Baptizo, you're identified with something. So, I have been baptized into, what's this? Medicare. I have been baptized with Medicare. I've been identified with Medicare. That's the proof right there. I don't know what it gives me, but I don't have to buy insurance anymore. Actually, I still do, but that's a different subject. I'm identified with that group. All right, to be baptized means to be identified with. That's why in 1 Corinthians 10, he says Israel was baptized into Moses through the Red Sea. They went through on dry land. There's no water. It means that they identified themselves with Moses as their leader. You know, the last 10 months they weren't so sure. You know, this guy, he's going to kill us all. And then Israel is holed up in the wilderness. Red Sea on one side, desert on the other. And here comes Pharaoh and all his chariots and his troops. Says, these idiot Jews, I got them. We're going to slaughter them all in the desert. And the cloud that led them to that point picks themselves up and moves it over. And all that night, Pharaoh couldn't get near the Jews. God protected them. And during that night, this wind blows, tacks the water up on the right hand and the left hand. It's a deep, deep sea. They go across on dry ground, and in Exodus 15, Pharaoh and his army is horse and rider drowned in the ocean. They were identified with Moses. So the Spirit took and identified you with the body of Christ. Every single believer has the Spirit. If any man does not have the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, he doesn't belong to him. Romans 9. So you all have the Spirit. Every person who believes has the indwelling Spirit. And one of the things that the Spirit did was place you into the body of Christ. That is called Spirit baptism. You weren't aware of it. You didn't even know it happened. It happens to all believers. No one asked your opinion. You decided to believe, and the result was that the Spirit gave you new life, regenerated you, took away your sins. 33 things, according to Lewis Chafer, happened when you believed in Christ, one of which is Spirit baptism. Water baptism, however, is temporal. It's a public declaration. It looks backwards and says you believed in Jesus. It looks forward and says you're abandoning yourself to him as a disciple. And we baptize people. Hopefully we won't do one this Sunday because we'd have floating chairs. God, please take our chairs. It's identifying publicly with a personally held belief. So you have Spirit baptism or real baptism, and you have ceremonial baptism or water baptism. They're two distinct things. Here he's just arguing that you are a part of the Christ body of Christ, and the Spirit is the one who did that. For also by one Spirit we all were baptized into one body, whether Jews, whether Greeks, whether slaves, whether free persons, whether vaxxed, whether unvaxxed, whether conspiratist theorists, whether non-conspiratist theorists. Did I say that right? No matter what your race, no matter what your gender, if you believed in Jesus, you are identified and you're part of the body of Christ. Then he says, and for we were unto one Spirit, we were made to drink. Drinking is easy, it's simple. It's a synonym for believing. But his point is that we all share this common heritage brought to us by the amazing executive of the Trinity, namely the Holy Spirit. He's the one that gets everything done. And here, what he wants you to know is that all believers are part of one body. Now, in verses 14 through 17, even though we are all part of one body, we all have different gifts. We all have different abilities. We all have aid by the Spirit to accomplish eternal results in the life of others in different ways. You do, I do, we all do. So let's look at verses 14 through 17. For also the body is not one member, but many. Verse 15. If the foot should say, and here's actually in Greek, it's a quote, I'm not a hand. I'm not of the body. It's not separated, that one, from the body, is it? It's expecting a no answer. So if my foot... It's so much work. Never mind. I actually did that in a sermon one time where I was talking about beautiful feet that spread the gospel of good tidings. And I took my shoes off, and Don Hargrave's mother was there. She's with the Lord now. He's taking his shoes off. They were a bunch of chaplains. And my point was, your feet take the gospel to people who need it. You know, beautiful feet. But here, he's just using an illustration. You know, I have to pretend to take my boot off in order to get you to laugh. They'd be laughing. What would it be like if the foot says, oh, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand? It's not suspended from the body, is it? It's not separated. And if an ear should say, I am not an eye, I'm not a part of the body. It's not separated, that one, from the body, is it? Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where is the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where's the smelling? So, you know, y'all ought to be laughing. Where's the smell? What's the stench? You know? Yeah, what stinks? I went to a church in Illinois, and I stayed on a pig farmer's land with the pig farmer and his family. He had pigs. I've never seen anything like it. It was terrifying. This building was twice the size of our church. And the pigs, they're the size of small freight trains. And they live on 4x4 angle irons like that, with gaps between that are too narrow for the hooves of the pigs to go through. And they live on that. And they have food that comes into their little stall, and they eat and they drink, and they spend a good part of their time in that little corral of theirs. And all of the poo and all of the urine, it falls through into a 15-foot basement, and that collects, and then that's pumped out into a poo wagon, and it goes out on the fields, and it's spread on the fields, and it's so hot that it has to sit. So you put it on fallow ground because it'll kill anything else. They let the pigs out, you know, so this isn't their only experience. In fact, one of the jokes they play on the preacher is to help get the pigs back into the barn. So my host says, you know, I have gum boots that are up to my knees. And he says, all right, I'm gonna let these pigs out, and they're gonna come around the corner of the barn. And when they come around to the corner of the barn, all you have to do is stand there and wave your arms and get them into the building. Easy. So I get out there, and I'm ankle deep in mud. Okay. It's nasty mud. And all of a sudden I hear squealing and screaming and noise, a cacophony that I couldn't believe it was so loud. And a pig comes around the side of the barn, 90 miles to nothing. And this thing is this huge pig, and I'm supposed to persuade it. So I'm, I'm screaming, and the thing's coming right towards me. Pigs are incredible. They make right turns. Coming right at me, makes a right turn into the barn, and that, oh, that was easy. When I got to church, I noticed something. So here the church is full, and then there's a separation of about four rows, and in that corner, guess who's sitting? All the pig farmers. Why are the pig farmers sitting by themselves? It took me 2 weeks after I got home to Plano to get the smell out of my ears, that permeation. So if, you know, he says, if the whole body were ears, where would the hearing be? So we all have different parts. We all have different abilities. We're all different. Some are similar, you know, you got two ears, two eyes, that sort of thing. But we're all different, all part of one body. And it's God who has put the many into one body. Look at verse 18. This is God's idea. But now God, so here you have the Messiah in verse 12 and the Spirit in verse 13. I believe this is God the Father. Now God has appointed or set the members, each one of them in the body, just as he wished. Exactly as he wished. Now look up here. Don't you sometimes wish, oh, I wish I were like so-and-so. I wish I had their gifts. I wish I could do that. I don't know, man. God really made a mistake when he hauled me into this everlasting life. Okay, that's completely a misdirection. God is the one who selected you and brought you to himself, and he's the one who determined the role that you would play. Now, Sarah and I were having this discussion last week about the benefit that he gives these different abilities to people for others' benefits. You say, shouldn't that be for just the church? You say, well, the Greek has no object there. It's just indefinite. It's for others' benefit. It's not for myself, it's for others. Well, shouldn't that be just the church? Well, in the context, it's the church. But I don't think that's the issue that Paul is making. Paul is making, God selected you because of who you are, and by his Spirit, he has given to you what you need to bring honor and glory and eternal results to other people. Do you know what your gift is? Well, no, you don't. That's all right. The focus isn't on your gift. The focus is on other people and how you can help them. Now, sometimes I wish I didn't have some of the abilities that I have. But, you know, I can do it. I can fix that. I fix a whole lot better at fixing stuff than a lot of things. You know, and the older I get, the more fun I enjoy. Marvin was fussing at me the other day. We were fixing to start school, and we still had a classroom that Mr. Winchester's class needed the lights. Saturday morning, Sarah and I were drinking coffee. I said, I'm going to go put lights up. Don't you need help? No, I can do it all by myself. You're too old. No, I'm not. So Alan's class has lights. That's something I enjoy doing. You're like that. By God's determination, he has determined, it's his wish to place you in the body, specifically the way that you are placed. Now, verse 19, if all were one member, where is the body? So you've got to have this diversity of people, just like God wished. Now, verses 20 to 25, every member of the body is vital. Every member of the body is important. Now, the eye is not having authority to say to the hand, I'm not having need of you. You know, I was in a church in North Dakota, and doors opened. If you want to know why not, my not, I'll tell you after the service. The doors open, and the lady comes in and she says, I hate so-and-so. I know what the Bible says. I don't care what the Bible says. I hate that person, naming her by name, and I'm going to hate her till the day I die. Well, you know, it seems to me that it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have determined that each person in the body of Christ is there, and you cannot say to them, I don't want you, I don't need you, I have no need of you, because we need each other. Or again, the head to the foot. I'm not having need of you. But to each member, rather, the seeming members of the body, the weaker ones, those who are being in a state of weakness, asthenio, it's an English word, to be weak, those are necessary. So he says, you know, instead of the ones who appear to be, oh man, that person has all of their trash together, benefit of a small church is, the answer is no one. Thank you, Sarah. No one has their trash together. That's the benefit of a large church. They look at you and say, oh, this person, now they've got their act together. No, they don't. You just don't know. But the honorable ones, they're no more important than the weaker ones. Verse 23. In fact, what we think of or think as dishonorable to be of the body, on the dishonorable ones, we are bestowing even a greater honor. And our unpresentable members, we're putting decorum, modesty, greater modesty we're having on them. Somebody said to me, why don't you go swimming anymore? And I said, well, because my legs are embarrassed. They're covered. The unseemly things. Actually, I can't remember the last time we went swimming. We went to North Carolina, went to the beach. And we had this discussion, should we bring our bathing suits? You know, there's swimming pools in all the hotels where we stay. And there's a beach. And I said, well, you know, when I think about going to the beach, it looks more like eating seafood at Calabash than going swimming. I think swimming's for a younger person. And we both laughed and left our bathing suits at home. And we had a great time at the beach. We went and ate seafood at Captain Nance's on the inland waterway. And then we went to Callahan's, and Sarah went shopping. Callahan's is a junk store that's the size of our entire property. They have a whole section that is nothing but Christmas junk. I stayed in the car. Actually, there was a sign that said there was an ammunition shop across the street, and I went over there to a gun store. As we look at this body of Christ, verse 24, we put more honor on that which appears to be weaker, verse 25, in order that there should not be a schism, a division, a separation in the body. A separation comes when somebody thinks, I don't need you. Why don't you leave? Why don't you get out of here? Your gifts are retarded. We don't want you here. That's where the schism comes from. But the same on behalf of one another, the members should be having care or worry. That we worry about one another. And we can do that in our church this size. We don't call you every time you don't come to church. Why not? Well, because we don't. That's being wearisome. But we pray for you. We think about you. You know, and we're a lot of old folks. That means we get here early. You know, Pete. Every time Pete clicks the door entrance here, I get an email that tells me when Pete got there. I look at my phone. Oh, Pete's there. Why are we like that? Well, because we're weird. Why are you getting here at 7 o'clock? Because I've got so much to do, Pete would say. He's got coffee to make, and then he has to go get candy. Vivian was concerned because she got here before I did, and the lights were on, and the coffee was made, the door was locked, and the alarm was on. Said, oh, that's Pete. Pete's gone to get candy because such and such a person wants this kind of candy bar, and he didn't have it, so he goes and gets it. Isn't that weird? The functioning of the body. the weird things. We pray about Jesse's ministries. What a weird batch of ministries. We pray about people in India that Jesse knows. That's what the body is about, that we have the same care for each member of the body, because it was God who put us into one single body. I'm working with our staff right now on the speed of unity, trying to see our staff working together under the Great Commission, creating and developing in our students critical Christian thinkers. And there's a unity that comes that you recognize it when you see it, but it's hard to quantify it. And you recognize it when you see it, when you have one body with all of the members caring for each other and no schisms. There's nothing like it. And the last section here, because we belong to Christ, we all belong together. We're going to spend eternity together. We should get used to it. If one of the members suffers, all of the members suffer. If one of the members is honored, we all rejoice. All the members rejoice together. I'm so glad that this happened to so and so. You are, verse 27, you, emphatic, you are the body of Christ. You are the body of Christ. God made you a member of the body of Christ and members of every single each part of it. So my idea this morning, you are a member of the body of Christ, unique in your gifts and your ministry. All right, let's sing a closing hymn. I think we have one. I don't remember what it was, but I've been throwing my papers around up here, so somebody help me. What's our closing hymn? 201. Thank you, Pam. I think I have a hymn book, too. 201. Would you stand, please? What's 201? I'm sure we know it. All right, 201. Will you sing with me 201? We'll do first and four stanzas.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary smiled upward, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see His face, will you this moment His grace receive? Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin.
I have good news for you. This grace is freely bestowed on all who what? All who believe. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.